really awesome time, especially for kids, as you get to dress up and be your favorite character or maybe something that you always wanted to be. Funny thing is, it isn't just kids that dress up nowadays. Yes, I have been guilty of dressing up on Halloween as an adult. It's okay. In fact, for centuries, dating all the way back to the Victorian era, people, adults, have been dressing up and going to parties themselves, getting together and just having fun, enjoying themselves as they don costumes and various types of masks. In our day, there is actually a phenomenon called cosplay. Raise your hand if you've heard of cosplay. Yeah, oh, we got a few people. So cosplay, it's a very interesting thing. It's an event where adults get together and they dress up as a particular character, sometimes especially a particular type of genre or world or scene, and they all get together and they play pretend, essentially. You know, it could be superheroes, it could be your favorite, Harry Potter show, whatever it is, they dress up and they act out all of these things. It's kind of their own make-believe world. Very interesting thing. And with such a large following, it has drawn the interest of doctors in research more recently. One psychologist explains that many adults become involved in cosplay in these imaginary worlds for more than just having fun. In fact, other than having fun, research has found that adults participate in these things for some very serious things, such as coping with trauma. They are seeking purpose and meaning, and in some cases, simply just trying to overcome shyness and build community in a place that they are behind a mask or acting as somebody else. So to me, this is very fascinating. I think it's really interesting that people, as they deal with these very real things, they turn to something such as this, such as cosplay. How interesting is it that there are such large communities of grown adults that are kind of creating these extravagant fantasy worlds just to find support, just to find purpose and meaning, or even to find community. I wonder what this might say about our reality, because the reality is cosplay isn't the only area of our life where we are donning costumes and masks, are we? In fact, we put them on in our daily lives. We put on our responsible adult costume, right? Whenever we go to work. Maybe we put on our happy Christian face, right? Whenever we go to church or any other religious organization. Or maybe we put on our, I've got everything under control and nothing bothers me anytime we're out in public. Can you imagine a costume labeled that? But so often we go out into the world and we have these costumes or masks to mask what's really going on inside. To mask what we are really struggling with deep down. And as we learned last week in the first part of Psalms 139, this is all just a facade, isn't it? It's all something that we convince ourselves of. As we learned last week, God is all-knowing and ever-present. There is nowhere you can run, nowhere that you can hide where God is not aware, where God doesn't know. And if you're following along, you can go ahead and turn over to Psalms 139, because as we learned last week, instead of being creeped out by this idea that God is everywhere at all times, in all situations that you find yourself in, David found this comforting. He wasn't creeped out at all. In fact, he found peace in this fact. To God, David's life is simply an open book. God knows. He knows where you've been. He knows where you'll go. And as David talked about last week, God is there to guide you through. So this week we pick up in Psalms 139 and we're going to be picking up in verse 13. Psalms 139, verse 13. And today we get to see something a little bit different. We get to see that God not only knows all that you say and do, but he also knows who you are. And not just on a superficial level, not what you do for a living to support yourself and your family, not what you tell your friends that you are. He knows who you are on the inside. Maybe he even knows more about you than you know about yourself, because there are no costumes in heaven. And to God, you're not fooling him. So read with me, beginning in verse 13. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So often this verse is used as a political tool, if you will. But it's more importantly speaking about this very intimate relationship. It's speaking about the depths to which God truly knows you and who you are. He knows us. He says, "You created my inmost being." The most literal translation of that is that you created, get this, my kidneys. He's being very specific in the original language. He didn't just simply snap his fingers and say, poof, there's Arthur. In fact, what David is saying, he didn't just simply snap his fingers and say, poof, there's Arthur's innards. Instead, he knit together even the smallest pieces of who I am, down to even David's kidneys, down to the smallest organ and smallest fabric of what makes us who we are. He knit us together in detail, knowing what he was making. Now keep in mind, David is writing poetically. So strictly speaking, poetry is an art by which people express emotions through words. And naturally, as inspired word, this scripture gives us insight into God. Yet understand the emotional emphasis that David is putting behind these words. Essentially, as we go along, we'll see that God, your Father, knows you inside and out. So as he goes on to say in verse 14, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be." God knows you inside and out. Have you ever felt like you had a purpose in life, but you just couldn't quite put your finger on it? Have you ever felt like you were made for something? Maybe even something bigger than what you're doing now, but can't quite figure that out? David's poetic words express this very reality, because you were made for a purpose. Every one of you were made for something specific. You were created to serve God and his people in a way that nobody else can. Can you believe that? Imagine, just for a moment, that you went to work every day. You woke up every day knowing that your job is so unique, so specific, that you were hired for a position that nobody else can fill. No one else has what you have, what you were created. Your talents, your experience, and personality, they are specifically designed to fill that position. Imagine, if you had that job, first you might feel this overwhelming sense of responsibility. After all, you're the only one made for this purpose. You alone. And if you don't do the job, then who will? If you don't fulfill that purpose, then who is going to? And second, you might feel an inspiring sense of appreciation. Just knowing the lengths to which your boss went to find you. Not to mention the trust that he has in you to fulfill this purpose, to do this thing. Right now, we have a child in the audience that was fulfilled just for the purpose of putting a smile on people's face. And isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that every moment of our lives, God knows and he's created us for. But this is the hard part, though. Because as we said, what is that role for you? What is that purpose? And what were you made for? Interestingly enough, David lets us in on a secret in the following verses. The best way to know how or for what purpose something was made is to become very familiar with its maker. Let's continue reading in verse 17. It says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." To search the thoughts of your maker is to find purpose and meaning in your own life. David says, "How precious to me are your thoughts." Are God's thoughts precious to you? The things that he has in store for you, the words of wisdom that he shares with you, could you say that those things are precious? Notice that David doesn't just express how great he thinks they are, but he also expresses the action in trying to count them. Do your thoughts and actions express the value you say you have for God and his word? And his thoughts? Are you searching them such as David is? As David closes this psalm, he recognizes that no matter how hard he tries, he will always have fault. He so desperately wants to be aligned with God. He knows the only way to do so, the only way to align his thoughts with these thoughts that he's been searching and understanding more and more, is to ask God to do it for him. He says in verse 19, "If only you, God, would slay the wicked away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies." And here he says it. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He asks God, and in this is his complete surrender. There is no other writing that I know of that is so eloquent in how it describes an all-powerful creator and his intimate relationship with his creation. Here in divine scripture, we see the greatness of God, but we also see that even in that greatness, even in all that he is, he knows you. He made you. He has created you for a purpose, and you are precious to him. In awe of God and his care for him, David ends with a request, as we just read, because he asked of God, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Have you ever felt that way? Felt like you know what God is. You know how great he is and how much he cares for you, how much he wants from you. But you feel like you just can't add up. You feel like no matter how hard you try, you're just going to fall short. Because you've already been trying so hard. And whenever it comes down to it, who equips us for these things? Because it's in those moments that I want you to realize it is God that equips you for your purpose. God has made you with purpose and meaning. And as long as we try to do them on our own, as long as we fail to remember that God is all-knowing, that he is ever-present, and that he has created you, he has knit you together, that we will never find that purpose. We will never know God truly. The question is, are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to ask God to search your heart, to be cleansed by his great mercy? If you would like to know your Creator more, your Father who has created you for something that no one else can do, if you want to get back to an intimate relationship with him, or if you're just ready to surrender yourself in the waters of baptism to know him more, now's the time. As we stand and sing.
I have heard.